Quite often a system has to meet a particular target clock frequency. Perhaps not for technical reasons, but it might be that the marketing division of the company has already advertised and sold the product at a particular clock frequency, such as a 1 gigahertz processor in your latest Android phone. And the poor designers have the job of making the logic actually clock at that frequency. Once they've done a place and route operation after synthesis to gates, they'll know the actual net lengths and hence their capacitance. And this can be used, as I'll explain in another lecture, to work out exactly how fast the gates are going to go. And we can re-simulate with this additional information in our simulation at the event level. This is called a back-annotated simulation. We've annotated the original netlist with the capacitance information. And maybe or maybe not, the system meets its target clock frequency. We may have to make design changes, repipeline a bit, to meet what's called timing closure. Timing closure means getting the clock frequency of a particular subsystem up to its target clock frequency. And of course, ultimately, it's a matter of joining up the loops in the logic paths and the flow between pipeline registers. And hence, it's thought of as a closing the loop. Now, the FIFO is a particularly useful design component. It's going to be fully transactional on its input and its output, and the delay through it is going to be unspecified. It will have a maximum storage capacity, but that's a secondary consideration. So on the left-hand side, I show a FIFO for use within a clock domain. A FIFO implements first-in, first-out queuing, and the items come out in the order they were put in, but the delay that an item receives is not dependent on the FIFO's internal logic, it's dependent on how the FIFO is used. On the right hand side, I've shown a FIFO that's suitable for crossing clock domains. It has a read clock and a write clock, which are separate. And this is also a very useful design component because multiple clock domains tend to exist in most designs. For instance, when we're receiving data from an external interface, it will be synchronized with the transmitter's clock, but we need to retime it to our local clock. In another lecture, I'll talk about how to design logic that crosses clock domains to avoid metastability. Now, returning to the FIFO on the left-hand side, which is fully synchronous, it's either going to be internally pipelined, meaning there's no combinational logic path from the input to the output. And if that's the case, then inserting one of these in our design will help with timing closure. Or it could be a bubble-free FIFO, in which case there will have to be a combinational path through it, and it won't necessarily help with timing closure. A bubble-free FIFO is one where when it is empty and we write an item in, we can also read that item out in the same clock cycle, and therefore there must be a combinational logic path between the write enable going in and the ready for read coming out. And also, when the FIFO is full, if reading an item out enables a new item to be written in the same clock cycle, then there must be a combinational path from the read enable to the ready for write. So these bubble-free FIFOs will have combinational paths and not necessarily help with timing closure, whereas internally pipelined FIFOs will have no combinational path through them, and so will help with timing closure, but they will give us a system-level bubble, because a data item is always going to be delayed at least one clock cycle between going in and going out. End of slide.